This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne, welcome back.
Hello, Em. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us as always. Now, I was recently over in Perth and I saw a small group of younger, I mean, they were at a pub, so they were old enough, you know, they were probably about 20 years old, and they were all taking a selfie, but with their arm extended, and what they were using was a digital camera.
Yeah, so there seems to be some data from TikTok of about 200,000 videos that are either tagged with digital camera or showing digital cameras being used. And this is just drawing a lot of conversation and, you know, chatter amongst people who grew up using or at least used digital cameras in the past, thinking, why? When we carry now, nearly all of us, a smartphone that takes a better photograph than those digital cameras with much less effort, and you don't have to put a cable in to get it onto your computer, yada, 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 why are the youngins embracing these old-fashioned cameras?
Well, that leads me to my next question, Lauren. Why? Like, look, I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you're giving yourself so much extra work to get a shitter picture.
Yeah, but it is. It is a dodgier result, you know. I mean, if you want a dodgy result, you can use a filter on a good photograph and make it look like it was taken in 1970 if you want to. You don't have to get a digital camera for these purposes. Look, the way I think about it is akin to other objects that have become a little bit fetishized by people who did not grow up using them. I'll give you an example, typewriters. Now, there's a bit of a kind of thing for retro typewriters. They are impractical. Think of, you know, me who writes books. I could never have been as productive as I have been had I had to strike every one of those keys on a, you know, on a printout and then have to manually edit. It's just inconceivable. Yet, I quite like the aesthetics of an old typewriter. I don't have one, but I know lots of people do. There's a bit of a roaring trading op shops for old retro, you know, typewriters that we didn't grow up using. I think that there's a parallel there. It's a nostalgia for objects that you didn't use. So you and I would have been, we're roughly the same age, would have gone through a time where we had a digital camera. Mm-hmm. So there's no appeal to us because we've seen the technology move on from that and we can see the benefit. Why would we go backwards? Why would I take my clothes to the river to wash them rather than use the washing machine? Right? Humans don't do that. But I can imagine for people who didn't grow up using them, there is some level of novelty attached to doing things that seem a little bit quirky. Other kind of things, think about the aesthetics of a rotary dial phone. If you didn't grow up using one of those phones with a sort of curly cable, there's an element there of interest in the object because it feels historic, even though this is just a reminder for people who did live through it, we're getting old.
So
I don't like that.
So interesting. What, and I think also when you were speaking, you know, record players and vinyl, that's a huge thing for like the millennial generation. What is it that, is it just because it's like kind of like a fear of, oh, I missed that, so I should try and have that?
Yeah, but I think there's also the idea of being in touch with a past. And it's funny when you've got people alive who lived through that age, it doesn't feel that long ago to them. So it feels a little bit curious. But if you're someone who was, I don't know, born in, let's say, 2005, I'm trying to do the math. But let's say you're about 20 years old now, you've been born in the 21st century, you're technically what's called a digital native. You've never known a world without the internet. Your first phone would have been a smartphone. There's something about the idea of holding objects in your hand that feels like they tie you to the past, even if it's not, you know, one of those old brownie box cameras of ye old. It's still a practical in the sense that you're not going to go truly old school and get film, because where are you going to get the film from and where are you going to develop it? So the digital camera is sort of a doable, nostalgic sort of technology that isn't so, you know, you can still get the cables that connect it to your computer. Unlike if you went down the path of using an old school film camera, it's an expensive lark. This is less so.
Makes sense. We're chatting to Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about the resurgence of digital cameras, which, as you mentioned, Lauren, no appeal to me. I've been there. I've done that.
Nor me. And again, it's very rare that this stuff is going to appeal to people who went through it the first time. It's very much, think about fashion. If you were alive in the 70s and, let's say, wore flares, when flares come back in fashion, you're not getting yours out of the cupboard and putting them on again, because that works to date you, right? That fashion is appealing to someone who wasn't there the first time. And partly I look at this with makeup trends at the moment where, you know, dark lip colors in brown shades are going through a bit of a trend, right? That was the trend when I was at high school in the late 1990s. I don't want to go back there. But for people who didn't live through it, it's a trend that they've not sampled, but they've seen photographs of, because the supermodels of the 1990s all wore that makeup. And it's much like other, you know, periods in time where art and fashion, music and makeup have idealized a little bit.
I wonder what you think about this position, because I was speaking to my friend as we were watching this selfie on a digital camera take place at the pub, and my friend said, oh yeah, because what's happening is younger people are, instead of taking their iPhone or their smartphone out to, you know, out on a night out, they're taking a digital camera and like a Nokia 3310 that doesn't have access to the internet, because they want to disconnect from the internet, be liberated with the freedom of no internet.
Yeah, look, I can barely remember to put my own smartphone in the bag, let alone also remembering the digital camera. I feel this is too many steps for someone like me who's a bit scatterbrained, but okay, if people are doing it. I did see an article in one of the newspapers a couple of weeks ago, which was a kind of, I think they call themselves, you know, neo-Luddites, which is basically a group of people who, young, you know, school-age kids who were eschewing the idea of any smartphones and embracing that old, phone that can only ring mum kind of thing, as opposed to access the internet. I don't think it would be particularly widespread. I can see the appeal for some kids, particularly when we have, you know, soaring rates of cyberbullying and all kinds of information that suggests too much time online isn't very healthy, particularly for young people on social media. But I don't think a lot of people have the willpower to leave it at home. I'd like to see data, but I haven't.
Yeah, and I guess potentially it would also be kind of, and I'm being maybe a bit judgy saying this, but it would also be kind of a situation where it was sort of for a one night only, you'd have that thing and then you could go back to your Instagram and your Facebook.
Are you getting your Uber though?
Well, this is what we were talking about. We were like, okay. And then,
serious?
And then apparently my friend was like, actually taxis are becoming like more popular because of this.
Oh,
I don't know if it's true, Lauren. This is one example of it that I saw.
As academics often say, anecdote is not evidence, so we'd need a bigger data sample. No. We'd need more than a few anecdotes. It would be interesting if it's true. I can't see it, because it's just too practical to have, even though there's so many downsides, we've only gotten worse in terms of heavier consumption of this technology rather than limiting it.
Well, okay, we're going to have to keep – I'll be keeping a log of data about this stuff.
I need you to write down the names, get them to call me. I need to quiz why you're doing this.
And what we should do is we should go back into that, you know, we all have one little box under the bed or on the top of the cupboard, and check if you have a digital camera, because someone is going to want to try and buy that off you now.
Yeah, and I definitely have one somewhere.
Yeah, I think I do too.
I did my – PhD 2003 to 2006, part of my research was photographing billboards for a year. And I did that on a digital camera. And that idea of having to transfer those photos every single day because the memory card, like, this is just madness. Who would go back to that if you had a choice? I don't get it. But because I went through it, heavy use of one for a year, it's not novel for me. I guess it has a novelty for people who didn't have to suffer like I did.
Well,
suffer like a dog. Such a first world problem, isn't it?
We have a message in from Randall who says, a digital SLR is radically different from a happy snap digital camera. Digital SLR not comparable to a phone. That is true.
Yeah.
Like, there are digital cameras that are amazing.
Yeah, one of my closest friends is a camera person at the ABC. And yes, of course, there are times where they'll use digital camera. Of course, they're not using smartphones for most work in production, in television quality production. Very, very good point. I'm not sure most of the kids on TikTok are using those great, fiddly lens type cameras, but again, I'm happy to be corrected.
No, well, I have seen a lot of images of the cameras, and the cameras are definitely like the ones that at the time in the 90s would have been like maybe $100, which was like a lot.
Yes.
And now they're-
But still your cheaper ones. Exactly. At the time.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know if they, I don't think they're using the, you know, high quality ones because I mean, I really don't understand it, but we'll do the data. We'll do the data collection, Lauren.
Look, I appreciate it. And look, some of the discussion on TikTok is also about how there is also an appeal in taking bad photographs, that there's sort of an anti-aesthetic aspect to it. Ooh. And as someone who often, I often manipulate, my brother will send me photos of my nephews. I'll manipulate them digitally to make them look evil, the children, in the sense of filters. You know how, like, say, those Netflix documentary, when someone's evil, they make it black and white and slow-mo. Mm. Anyway, I do that to the photos to make it look like they're sort of 70 snapshots that have been in a crime book, right? That's my entertainment. I'm not using an old camera for it, though. I'm using filters.
Yes, just getting the same
and aesthetic, Photoshop, rather than spending money on a anyway.
Well, as I said, we'll keep collecting the data. Go find your digital cameras because there's a young person that will want to buy it off you. And Lauren,
I'm sitting on a gold mine.
So appreciate
if
your
you
time.
Never hear from me again, it's because I made a mozza on eBay.
You're on a yacht in Croatia.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. More Lauren every Thursday here on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.